Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change in our second hour, and as always, it's a pleasure to have an in-studio guest for us for a change, Becca Franks. Welcome to the studio, Becca.
Thank you.
Great. Well, Becca is a native of Tucson, and she started dancing at an early age. She received a Bachelor of Fine Arts from the University of Arizona in 2000 and has been the artistic director of the Southern Arizona Dance Theater, as well as a ballet mistress at various schools in Tucson, getting involved in teaching and choreographing numerous works. Her love of dance put her into rehabilitation, however, for various injuries until she found Pilates. Pilates, another movement genre, taught her to move in alignment, therefore reducing stress on the entire body, something I'm certain we all look for, and it became a second love and, frankly, an addiction, and it's enabled Becca to continue moving freely and painlessly. It only makes sense, then, that these two great passions, in other words, her love for dance and now Pilates, were brought together in her new center called the Anima Center for Dance, Pilates, Yoga, and Wellness that opened 2.5 months ago at the Riverwalk Plaza at Craycroft and Grant. And when Becca isn't moving, which I can't imagine that be the case, she enjoys walking outdoors, reading, and she even admits creating sugary concoctions. So, well, great. Well, Circles of Change is a place and a show, Becca, as you and I talked about, that your story is so apropos for what we're all about. The day that you either went through one injury or a series of injuries, what was flashing through your mind, do you think, at that point?
You know, at that point, my first major injury was when I was 16, and my knees were sliding out of place. And when you're 16, you think you're invincible. So it was sort of a, you know, stop in your tracks kind of thing, and physical therapy wasn't working for me, and there were threatening surgeries, and that just wasn't, you know, on my plan of things to do. And this is a while ago, so knee surgeries at this time were not as good as they are now. And one of my large family members said, hey, you know, you should try this Pilates stuff. All the dancers, she was in Oregon, do this, and it fixes them. And so I went to go get fixed.
And so that's how you get introduced to it, yeah. And so did you go study with one? So you almost went to it as a form of therapy then to enable your ability to dance.
Yeah, and I improved. My knees got better. And then I stopped, of course, because I was 16. And I thought, oh, I'm fixed, and continued on. And then a number of other injuries kept occurring. And so eventually it just sort of became a staple in my life that I continued doing Pilates.
So in some ways it wasn't a catastrophic event, but it was eventual ramp down and then ramp up of a new passion, a new love for you.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that your career with a Bachelor of Fine Arts then, so that was in your 20s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Late teens and 20s, and then pursuing the opportunity to be part of choreography and enabling other dancers, was that a logical fit for you then?
You know, I thought that I would go into performing right away, but I love choreographing, and so that sort of fell. And I always feel like everything falls into place for a reason. Things just sort of naturally come into your life. And so that just fell into place for me, and I was able to do a little more creating than performing.
And you did it at a relatively young age, though. Usually, dancers don't step into that until they're, you know, approaching or past their prime, which I know dancing people don't appreciate, particularly ballet is an extremely rigorous sport. That you have to be very mindful of. But typically you see choreographers evolve kind of after the fact.
Right.
Just like you see a lot of Broadway performers because of the gruel of two shows a day or whatever it is, certainly on the weekends, that they then turn towards backstage or directing. But you saw the flip of that. What was it like being younger, perhaps, than some of the more established individuals that did choreography?
You know, I just think it was great. It was just so much fun, and you're still learning so much and taking so much in, and being a young artist, it's just a phenomenal opportunity.
My guess is that the other young dancers really resonated with you for someone who perhaps was more peer-to-peer in their age.
Yeah, possibly.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Or also the ability to bring fresh ideas because you haven't written the script so many times.
Right.
I mentioned in the introduction you're being part of the Southern Arizona Dance Theater, which I know is a very diverse form of dance, is it not?
It actually has disbanded since then.
Oh, it
then.
Has. Okay.
But yes, it used to, the mission was to bring cultures together through dance. And so it was a very diverse group.
And so the idea that you could explore dance from a whole variety of places.
Yeah, it was very exciting. We were working with Native American composers at the time and different styles of dance. There was, you know, some Russian choreographers and some flamenco choreographers and all these people incorporating into the same theme, which is
so
really
you
fantastic.
Must have been, you know, back to that other piece that you said you like to make sugary concoctions. I'll play on a pun then. You were like a kid in a candy store then, I imagine.
I was.
At that phase of your career.
Yes.
And then the idea of being a ballet mistress, meaning to go into other and help other schools, sort of a wandering choreographer, is that what that role is about?
No, it was more sort of when you are the advanced ballet teacher at a school. And so you go in and you perfect the technique and the style of dancers. Yeah.
And so you're an adjunct then to the established faculty that are there then?
Yes.
Oh, what a lovely opportunity. So
yeah.
So then for you to see probably the different approaches that all the different schools around certainly Greater Tucson would have used at that time.
Yeah, and it's shocking all the differences between the schools in Tucson, but it's just a phenomenal thing to be able to teach and young, well, all ages, people grow so quickly. And so the body is just full of changes and your expectations of what the body can do and then the knowledge with that, just you can just do so much with the body. It's phenomenal.
Well, and I would think, though, what's vested in your hands is a tremendous responsibility, like any coach has for their athletes, then, is to be mindful of these young people that you've guided through the rigors of ballet and other dance forms.
Yeah, and that's a problem with dancing. I mean, there's a lot of injuries in dance. I think it's second to football. If
you
talk to physical therapists or rehabilitation places, there's just many, many injuries with dance that mostly can be prevented if you know proper alignment. And so with the Pilates, all the years of Pilates background, it's really been able to help me teach students how to move correctly from their bodies, what muscles they need to be working from, and where they're not supposed to be working from or moving from, which it just improves your dancing tremendously, but it also allows you to, you know, move painlessly away from injuries.
And see, my suspicion is that a lot of people view Pilates as another form of aerobic exercise, not necessarily something that's complementary to or, frankly, essential for a deeper understanding of yoga or ballet or even, you know, higher impact aerobic type activity. Do I have that right?
Yeah, I don't know if people realize how many professional athletes do Pilates. Many do because you're working at such a deeper level in your muscular skeletal system.
But yet it wasn't something you got introduced to until you were 16.
Right.
Do you think the whole regimen and learning around ballet, you know, here we are 10 plus years later, is more mindful then of the complement of a Pilates type exercise?
I think so. I think Pilates is a lot more mainstream now. So that's helped too. But I still think that there's a lot of, you know, when you're practicing any sport, that you just obsess with that sport and you
Indeed.
Don't see the benefits of going outside of that sport and finding other things that complement it.
And I can, you are absolutely right on, because I can think of the years that I've practiced aerobic dance in the morning, in the evening, couple high impact hours, and you'd kind of look over and say, oh, that yoga stuff is for lightweights, you know, and you think, but not until I got introduced to yoga years later did I realize, quite frankly, it was much more rigorous and aerobic for me. And also the taxing element of control and pace and breathing, which for us type A's wasn't necessarily an attribute I had much in line.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great introduction to actually where we really want to go in our conversation. That is for me to extend congratulations on your new center. So truly now, the leap of faith, would you say, to establish your own business and now bring this to a new set for clients.
Yeah. When I was young, I remember with my other dance buddies, because we were always injuring ourselves, we would dream about like a wellness center. Of course, it was on the beach and it was huge and there was a lot more to it. But this is sort of the beginning of that dream for me. It's lots of different approaches in the same house.
Well, the studio, why don't you take us on a virtual tour? If we could picture us walking in. I know it's at Craycroft and Craycroft and River, correct?
Yes. So you walk into the entrance or the lobby area, and then you're taken through the Pilates space, which is invigorated with red machines. But overall, it's a very calming atmosphere.
Which you designed, I take it.
Yeah,
sort of.
I'm actually a terrible designer, but I'm fortunate enough, like I said before, to have a huge family, and my sister-in-law is an interior designer.
Perfect. Boy, you can outsource right within the family, and I bet you the rates weren't too bad either.
No, they're great rates.
As in trade for.
Right, exactly.
I'll do Thanksgiving dinner, thank you very much.
Exactly.
or dessert, right?
That's right. So she actually helped me with the design tons. A lot of the ideas were hers. And then it was more of, you know, picking out colors. Oh, please don't pick that color. I won't be able to save you if you pick that color. And veering me into that direction, I sort of told her what kind of feeling I want in the space.
Perfect,
the space
yes.
is meant for kids from, you know, we have 2.5-year-olds. And I think our oldest student is in her late 70s. So trying to create a space that everybody feels welcome and calm and happy to be in there. It was the, you know, difficulty, but it's, I think it worked out beautifully.
Well, the other side of it is anytime you're staring at blank walls, though, it's a real challenge. So to be able to dream for you, but also I suspect to think about all the other studios you've enjoyed throughout your life to say, oh, I don't want this, but I do want some of that.
Yeah. There's some studios that did brilliantly with storage and just being able to, you know, have an open, light feeling so that you feel like you have the space to move. It's really essential in a movement studio. You don't want to feel like you're tight or boxed in. And the studios differ, you know, a lot. So
I don't think also people know to appreciate that. I'm moved here from Connecticut, and I always joke with people there are three things that wear out fast when you move here to the Southwest, and that would be tires, batteries, and shoes. So in other words, those hard surfaces that we have almost everywhere, but yet I know in your studio, you've selected a very unique floor covering, I believe, for the different spaces. You might want to mention that, because that, I would imagine, it really allows the wide variety of different offerings that you have at Animas Center.
Yes, in the dance space, we actually have a sprung floor, which was, there's all sorts of different sprung floors now, and some you can buy and sort of lock together, and they're sort of modernized. And we went with a traditional basket weave sprung floor, which was actually made by dancers that live in San Diego area, and it's 4 inches of wood that's sort of... It's a basket weave. It's about 2 feet apart, and
so
they
it's
stack.
It's almost a built-in suspension system.
Exactly.
For us engineers, that is.
it's lovely to walk on, and it's lovely even better to jump on, and it protects the knees and the ankles and the hips. But you feel it. It's like the floor is a lung. It literally breathes. So when you move, it's like it expands and decompresses with your movement and with your jumps, and it comes right up to meet you when you're moving on it.
And have your clients known to appreciate it in those who've joined your studio up to this point in time?
You know, some people walk, you know, 2 feet in there and they go, oh, my gosh, I love your floor.
Yep.
You know, this is amazing. And other people, I think they don't necessarily know the difference from a different floor. But hopefully 10 years from now or 20 years from now, when their joints aren't hurting them,
will know
that'll
to appreciate.
Be, yeah, they'll know that, you know, they did something good for their bodies.
That's great. Well, we've mentioned ballet and we've mentioned Pilates, mm-hmm. which one can imagine. Of course, those are offerings. But I know I have in front of me two separate schedules that you've got all sorts of offerings and a variety of staff and different characterizations. So it's not a minor decision when I would walk in. There's a lot of choices here. So maybe you could just walk us through, in general, the different offerings you have and to demonstrate the breadth of the new Animas Center, Becca.
So we have a yoga program in terms of many different yoga teachers under the same house. We have teachers from all different styles, which is really interesting. So you have your intense flow classes and you have your methodical breathing classes and meditation, and every teacher really has their own gems to offer a student, which I love going to all the different types of yoga. I feel like a kid in a candy shop being able to try all these new things. And I've always enjoyed doing yoga, and I never was really submerged in it before between all of my other activities. And so it's always been sort of a wish for me to be better at yoga, to start meditating, and to get that mindfulness that you get through that practice. We also have, an array of like fitness dance classes, like you were talking about the old cardio dance class, mm-hmm. and now it's Zumba is the big new one that everybody loves. But we have some other hip-hop and hip-hop style fusion classes that are a little less impact and also a ton of fun to do. And then we offer wellness coaching, and which is more about learning how to fit everything into your life so that you can live balanced, getting what you really, realizing what you want out of life and figuring out how to get that, whether that's just in nutrition, because, many people come into our studio because they're looking to change their bodies, or if that's more than nutrition and having to do with, relating to your family or relating at work and ergonomics at work, how things are placed and feng shui and all that sort of stuff. So that's sort of an interesting diversion that people can. We have different classes in that too that we offer,
which I think is a real rarity. That certainly isn't anything that I've often seen in a dance studio or even the fitness centers. But to couple the two together, like you said, that's back to your friend's dreams mm-hmm. from on the beach. But you that's do right. have the mountains when we walk out, right?
That's right. And luckily, there's no earthquakes here, so I don't think we're going to get any water in Tucson anytime soon. But there's those dreams. And then we also offer some healing therapies like Reiki and other energetic therapies. We offer zero balancing, and we do lazy man's yoga, which is, some people think of it as Thai massage or Thai yoga. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. some manual therapies that way too to help people.
So your customers that have come to you, I would suspect, and there's a wonderful ad that's running in the Desert Leaf right now, some one thing might catch their attention, and so they'll come in. But I have a hunch, just like what is happening to me, it's like, as long as I'm here, I'm going to go sample over here. So do you find that so far in your customers that they're expanding their own bandwidth because of the offerings you have?
Some people are. I mean, it's some people come in and they stay with what they're with, but the more they've been coming in, then they go, I'm going to stay for this class afterwards because that, looks like something maybe I could use, or what is that about, or what is this about? So people are kind of going out of their boundaries, which is great. I think it's a way to challenge yourself, bring your body and mind together in a different way. Like you were saying, as a type A, you weren't
right.
Into yoga originally.
Which actually was probably the best departure that I could possibly have. For those who just may have tuned in, we're speaking with Becca Franks, who's founder and leader of the Animas Pilates Yoga and Dance Center. It's located on River Road at the intersection with River and Craycroft. It's been open 2.5 months, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about the planning real quick. Was this a multi-month endeavor, lots of business planning, or was this a let's just go for it thing?
Well, a little bit of both. I actually looked at doing this about 6 years ago or 7 years ago. I don't remember. And I just couldn't afford to do it at the time. The rents were sky high. And so I just sort of put it on the back burner and thought, well, we'll see. You never know what's going to happen. And as life will take you through things, some things just open up and all of a sudden you have these opportunities. And unfortunately, the economy is down. But fortunately for starting a business, it's a little easier in terms of being able to pay your rent and things like that. So I actually was able to afford it more now to start a business than I would have before.
And I also think for those who are risk tolerant and those who are actually extraordinarily equipped, which you are in all these various facets, that you have a tremendous amount to stand to benefit from when others are pulling the plug. In other words, I have found that myself because I made the decision to step out of corporate America, as many of our listeners know, to start my own business at a time when everyone was saying, are you nuts? It's right when the economy was downturning. And I said, you know, it takes a couple years to figure it out anyway, so why not do it when the economy is down and you're going to grow right with it when it swings back up?
Right. And I feel the same way. I feel like, well, it might be slow now, but as things build and I'll get a little bit more into my groove and know a little bit more what I'm doing as things grow, too.
Or maybe not, which is where the fun will come.
Yeah, it's all fun.
Well, I think, you know, Becca, we talk about on this show, and you and I have exchanged in the same area, that's this idea that in order to really take a transition in your life to the next level, whether it be work-related, personal life, health, whatever, that there are a variety of places you want to focus on. And, in fact, I even characterize it that you focus on the Fs so you can get an A in transition. And on top of that list is faith, family, friends, fun, food, fitness, you know, focus on finance, obviously, and focus on others. So I really applaud the fact you've established a center that wants to be broad, that can entertain a variety of individuals. Do you have multiple generations yet within a family coming? You mentioned 2.5-year-olds. Is mom in the next room? Or
actually, yeah, sometimes.
Okay.
And sometimes grandma.
There you go, 3 generations. I knew it. And it, because your studio does have that cross-generational appeal, you've picked colors, you've got the ambiance, you've got the class structure that's, quite frankly, timeless. I think the other thing you're innovating, though, is this idea you're not locking yourself into one certain venue, so that if the swing goes away from Zumba over to salsa, bingo, it's a matter of you're identifying the right colleague, I would imagine, that would partner. Now, are you instructing in the process now?
I teach most of the stretch classes and Pilates classes, many of the Pilates classes. Unfortunately, I'm not doing dance right now. That's my next goal, is to get back into dance
somehow. You to personally get back, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe reopen SADT, actually. I want to start talking to some of the old board members about that.
To actually go back into choreographing then.
Yeah, and that was a nonprofit organization, and they brought dance to a lot of areas in town, children in town that wouldn't be able to normally see
dance. Well, that's a wonderful intention for you to not just hone your business, but also improve your own personal craft, but also give back to the community in the same time. Okay. Well, Becca Franks from the new Animas Studio, thanks so much for joining us. And those of you interested, you can go to animascenter.com. It's A-N-I-M-A-S. center.com. It's at River and Craycroft. And the hours, classes start right at 6:30 in the morning for you early birds, all the way through 8 in the evening. And it's quite a variety and a selection to meet any busy schedule. And I just really wish you the best of all worlds, Becca, as you expand and continue your own journey in the process of change.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for having me here.
Real pleasure. All right, we'll be in touch. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.